open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Praise to you, O Christ. Hallelujah.
O all works of the Lord, bless the Lord.
Praise him and magnify him forever.
O angels of the Lord, bless the Lord.
O heavens, bless the Lord.
O waters above the skies, bless the Lord.
O powers of the Lord, bless the Lord.
O sun and moon, bless the Lord.
O stars in heaven, bless the Lord.
O all works of the Lord, bless the Lord.
Praise him and magnify him forever.
O showers and dew, bless the Lord.
O winds of God, bless the Lord.
O fire and heat, bless the Lord.
O winter and summer, bless the Lord.
O dews and frost, bless the Lord.
O frost and cold, bless the Lord.
O ice and snow, bless the Lord.
O nights and days, bless the Lord.
O light and darkness, bless the Lord.
O lightning and clouds, bless the Lord.
O let the earth bless the Lord.
O mountains and hills, bless the Lord.
O all works of the Lord, bless the Lord.
Praise him and magnify him forever.
O all green things on earth, bless the Lord.
O wells and springs, bless the Lord.
O seas and rivers, bless the Lord.
O whales and all that move in the sea, bless the Lord.
O all birds that fly in the air, bless the Lord.
O all wild animals and cattle, bless the Lord.
O children of men, bless the Lord.
O Israel, bless the Lord.
O priests of the Lord, bless the Lord.
O servants of the Lord, bless the Lord.
O spirits and souls of the righteous, bless the Lord.
O holy and humble hearts, bless the Lord.
Let us bless the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Praise him and magnify him forever.
Thank you. chapter. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be very careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. May God be gracious to us and bless us.
And may his face shine upon us.
That your way may be known on earth.
Your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples correctly and guide the nations upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has yielded its increase.
God, our God, shall bless us.
God shall bless us.
Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now,
a reading from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the 4th chapter. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Amen.
Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs over and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this Samaritan, this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is especially verse 6 from the reading of the letter of St. Paul to the church in Philippi. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You may be seated. What is the opposite of thanksgiving? What would be the reverse of giving thanks? It's not being in need. Being in need is not the opposite of giving thanks. Someone in need can be full of thanksgiving, as Paul was in his letter to the church in Philippi. Instead, there are two other ways that are opposites of thanksgiving. One of them is the way of covetousness, the desire to always have more, always want something different than what we've been given. That idea of the grass being greener on the other side, and some of us have been on the other side only to realize it was either astroturf or it really wasn't that green after all. Covetousness. It's what led to the fall in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Eve saw the fruit, that it was good to the eyes, and the devil made it seem like it would be great for her life. So she desired that fruit, and she took it, and she ate. The opposite of thanksgiving. She took what God said not to touch or not to taste, not to touch, and she devoured it. We ought to check our hearts as we come to Thanksgiving for that sin of covetousness. What are the ways that we think God has been holding out on us? What are the things that we desire and wish we could have that He hasn't given to us? There's also another way that is the opposite of thanksgiving, and that is the way of complaining and of grumbling. We see that with Adam in the Garden of Eden. When God confronts him about their sin, what have you done? Do you remember what Adam says? Well, it was the woman you gave to me. He complains. He grumbles. He shifts the blame. I wonder if we look at our own lives, how much grumbling and complaining might we find? I know I'm really good at identifying it in other people, but I wonder how much I've missed it in my own life. Grumbling and complaining about things going on, grumbling and complaining about other people or the work that God has given or whatever it might be. It's the opposite of thanksgiving. Tonight we come asking for His forgiveness. Tonight we come repenting of our grumbling and our complaining. Tonight we come to learn from St. Paul another way. What's surprising about the letter of St. Paul that we heard tonight, the letter to the Philippians, is that this was a letter that Paul wrote when he was in prison. Doesn't seem exactly like the sort of material you'd pull out for a Thanksgiving service. Well, how about that prison letter again? That's got to be a great one. Certainly Paul could have been pulled toward coveting. He could have spent his time grumbling and complaining. But instead, this is what Paul writes. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, St. Paul acknowledges that we will have requests, prayers, and supplications to bring before God. There will be things in our lives and in this world that are not what we would want them to be or what they should be. We are to bring those to our Father in heaven, to lay the needs that we have, the needs that others have in our families and among our friends, before the throne of grace. But St. Paul adds, with thanksgiving. It would be a wonderful thing if in our prayers, even when we had a need that we were asking God for, if we would begin every prayer with a prayer of thanks. In the Small Catechism, Martin Luther offers a morning and an evening prayer for Christians to pray. And the striking thing is, he begins both of them with the words, "I thank you, my heavenly Father, for keeping me this night, for being with me throughout the day." To thank God is our duty. And when I say it is our duty, I don't just mean that it's a law, you better thank God or else. A duty is something that's helpful for us to know. What ought I to do? What ought I give to God? What does he ask of me? And honestly, he doesn't ask much. It is our duty to thank him, though. He has gifts that he gives and pours out on us lavishly, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. None of us have reached a century yet, but if we did, we could say century after century. He gives his gifts to us. He provides our daily bread, food, clothing, shelter, family, friends, work, heat, light. He provides for us in his church, his holy word, his holy sacraments. You heard what God, what Moses told the people of Israel. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's why we begin our Thanksgiving by coming to hear the word of God, to remember all that he has given, so that we can then return and give thanks to him as he would have us do. What's amazing is that God doesn't ask us to do this or to do that or to save the world or to be perfect. He simply says, "Receive my gifts," and then return thanks. So whatever prayers you may have tonight, whatever challenges you may be facing in life, yourself or among loved ones, when you bring those needs to your Father in heaven, remember to do so with thanks to God. St. Paul also directs us where we should put our hearts and our minds. This beautiful little passage, verse 8, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." If we're having a hard time remembering or thinking of what we ought to give thanks for, then I suspect it might be because we've been dwelling on things that are false or dishonorable or unjust or impure or horrid or not commendable. And there's a lot of that out there. All you have to do is pull up your news feed on your cell phone or your computer, and you'll find plenty of things that don't fit what Paul is talking about here in verse 8. And the more we see those things, the more we're fed by all of those things, the more anxious we become, the less we give thanks to God for the gifts that he has provided. St. Paul was in prison, but he teaches us a better way. St. Paul is clear. He says, "It's not that I am in need, because I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Wouldn't it be an amazing thing to be able to genuinely say that in your own life? I am content, whatever the situation. St. Paul talks about learning to face plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And this is the way we fight against ingratitude, by giving thanks to God. Not by taking for granted the things that we have in this life, but receiving God's gifts with contentment and with joy. And he says, "I can do all things through God who strengthens me." We can even give thanks to our God in the midst of suffering or of trouble or of difficulties, through God who strengthens us. The people of Israel lived through a time in the wilderness. We heard Moses address them. This is on when they are about to enter the promised land in the book of Deuteronomy. And he talks about the 40 years they spent in the wilderness. We could say that we spend our time in the wilderness as well.
in so many ways. Everything since Eden, since the fall, has been a wilderness of sorts. Now, we know the story of the people of Israel, how they spent their time coveting, wishing that they were back in Egypt with the leeks and the onions and the garlics. We know how Israel spent their time grumbling and complaining in the wilderness. But that's not what Moses points to. When he preaches to them this final sermon before he goes up Mount Nebo and dies, he reminds them of the way that God has provided for them, the way that God has been there for them. As you head to your Thanksgiving celebration tomorrow, either formally with those that you gather with, or at least on your own, spend some time remembering how the Lord has been there for you in this past year. Amen. Write down specific ways that he has helped you, or served you, or heard your prayers, or provided for you. For Moses would have us know that our God is the one who has given us all that we have needed, and we have not been lacking in any way. And as we gather tonight, we remember not only the gifts of earthly life, but also the spiritual gifts. For we have not been lacking in those either. How much forgiveness have we received over the course of this past year? How many of God's promises have we heard and held on to? How many of his gifts have been given into our lives? The Holy Communion. Every time we gather, remembering our baptism and the grace poured out upon us there, we have much for which to give thanks. And the greatest gift of all, the gift that remains and will endure forever, is the gift that the Father has given to us in his only beloved Son. The Son who offered himself for us by dying on the cross and then took up his life again that he might be our shepherd and lead us through this life. So tonight, tomorrow, in the year to come, as you bring your requests and your prayers before your Father in heaven, as you offer him your supplications through the blood of Christ, bring as well your thanks to God for all his benefits and mercies to us, of which there are more than we could possibly number. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. What is the first article of the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
What does this mean?
I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all dangers and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
Praise him above the heavenly.
thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Lord,
have mercy.
Christ,
have mercy.
Lord,
have mercy.
Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your mercies are new every morning, and you graciously provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
For the richness of his creation, and for his grace that sustains what he has made, for the natural resources that support our daily lives, and for the good fruit of the earth by which we and all creatures are fed and nourished, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the law that protects us against harm, shows us our sin, and guides us into all that is good and pleasing to the Lord. For the gospel that shows us our Savior Jesus Christ, through whom we enjoy forgiveness and life, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the freedoms we enjoy in our land, for those who hold high positions in our nation and communities, and for peaceful and quiet lives that enable us to live as God's people and to extend his kingdom to others, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the Holy Spirit and the gifts of Holy Scripture, Holy Baptism, Holy Absolution, and Holy Communion. For all pastors, missionaries, teachers, musicians, church workers, and fellow Christians who have taught us, prayed for us, and supported us in the Christian faith, and encouraged us to receive Christ's body and blood and lead godly lives. For our life together in this congregation, and for our unity in doctrine and practice, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For those who care for the sick, the elderly, the unborn, and the needy, for medicine and the medical arts, for the health and healing we receive here, and for the resurrection of the body and the greater healing still to come, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the fruits of the Spirit that God has already begun to work in us, and for the promise that he will bring these fruits to completion on the day of Jesus Christ, for even the smallest and weakest fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that have been shown to us and grow in us, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For our vocations and occupations, for the gift of labor and the privilege of enjoying the fruits of our labor, for neighbors and family members to love and serve and who love and serve us, for hands, hearts, and minds, for creativity and making that spring from us, and for the privilege to bring our needs and the needs of others before the throne of grace, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In faithful remembrance of the saints who went before us, for grace to rejoice in the mercies the Lord showed to them in their lives, and for the promised day of reunion when the dead in Christ shall be raised and we shall join them in everlasting light and life, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
In all things, O Lord, grant to us grace not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought,
but to honor you above all and to love our neighbors as ourselves. On our own we have nothing that will endure, but you have granted to us all things in Christ and a life that does not end. Hear your people for the sake of and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with whom, in whom, and through whom all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give,
Amen.
That our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.